Scripture comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 14. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Well, thank you, Aldina. It's good to be back with all of you here again this Sunday. It is good to be preaching and not having to have someone translate for you. That is a little bit. I know, Emily, you got used to that, and you can kind of just crank it off. But when you're used to just going through a text and not having someone interrupt you all the time, it's a little harder. So it's good to be back and just be able to just flow and go however fast I want. But we had a really good trip to Costa Rica. I think all 20 of us adults and youth that were there had a great experience. And you can look forward to next Sunday right here at Crown Hill. We're hosting all five churches, and the youth are going to be sharing from their experiences. So I just encourage you to come and let people that aren't here this morning know that they should be here next week. There's going to be a lot of cool things shared. And also, just be aware the schedule is a little bit different. At 10 o'clock, I know that's later than normal, so no one has a real excuse for being late. At 10 o'clock, we're going to have coffee and donuts, and we're encouraging you all to be here at 10, mingle with other people, get to know some people, talk to some of the youth. Enjoy coffee and donuts, and then the service will start at 10:30. And there, the Hispanic group from Salem Mennonite, where Open Arms is based out of, will be leading us in worship. So we'll have Hispanic music led by the folks that are a part of Open Arms. We'll have the youth share, and it should be a real special morning. So just have that to look forward to next week. So this morning we're jumping back into the Sermon on the Mount. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've picked it up, but we're going to get back into it. We're working our way towards the end, a couple more Sundays, and we'll have finished the Sermon on the Mount. It seems like a long time since we started it, but there's just so much in here to work our way through. But we're looking at this section, and we're looking at what Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. And that leads itself very well to a nice three-point sermon, to ask, to seek, and to knock. So will you pray with me before we start? Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity that I've had to travel with the youth and that we could all be back safely here at Crown Hill in our respective churches this morning. And Lord, I pray for this message from the Sermon on the Mount. And I pray that this would, as we look at asking and seeking and knocking, that we can look at this in our own lives and see what we're asking for, what we're seeking after, and on what door we are knocking. So Lord, we lift this up into your hands and we look forward to what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with asking. I think we've all probably been told or remember this question from when we were growing up, that there's no such thing as a stupid question. Or there's no such thing as a bad question. And that was the whole reason behind that. Maybe you're a teacher and you told kids that, or you told your kids that as a parent. And the idea is that you want children to be asking questions. You want kids to be inquisitive. You want them to be curious. And children generally don't have problems asking questions. That's how they learn. They ask questions over and over again. And maybe, probably likely, you've all been sick of children asking questions. And you say, stop asking so many questions. But the reality is you want a child to be asking questions. You want a child to be curious. You want a child to be learning, and that's how they do it. So even though it can at times be annoying when you feel that they've gone too far, that's a very important behavior trait of a child, that they're learning and they're curious and they're learning about the world that they're in. So it's great to be around children that are asking questions. But it seems like at some point along the line, usually middle school or high school, this behavior changes. And as children develop into adolescence and then into adults, they start to acquire this learned behavior that they see. And they realize that asking questions all the time is not always appropriate, or it's not always cool. And they start to realize that sometimes it's better to appear like you know the answer than it is to ask the question. You realize that sometimes when you ask a question, you're putting yourself at a risk. If you ask a question, people might laugh at you and think, oh, you don't know the answer to that. Everyone else knows the answer to that. And so children, as they develop into adolescents and adults, we start to learn that, you know, maybe it's not as okay to be inquisitive and be okay to be curious. And there's certain questions you shouldn't ask. And it's better not to ask. It's better to appear that you know. And that learned behavior creeps in. And unfortunately, that behavior can last a lifetime. I wonder how many in this room as an adult have thought about questions that you'd like to ask, maybe a person in private or maybe it's in a public forum. You thought, man, I'd like to know more about that, but you didn't ask because maybe you thought it was inappropriate, or maybe you thought that it would make you appear stupid because everyone else clearly knows the answer to this, so I must be missing something. I don't want to ask that question, and that goes into our adulthood. And we all know the ongoing joke, especially with men, right, that men don't like to ask for directions. And you know, with most jokes and most stereotypes, there's truth behind it. You know, I'm guilty of this. The reality is I've asked for directions hundreds and hundreds of times in my life, but it's always after I tried to find the place first on my own. And so, I don't know, maybe I'm not as bad as some or worse than others. I always want to try to find it on my own first. And then after I can't find it, I'm pretty quick to be able to ask. So I have nothing against asking. I just want to try it on my own first. And so, you know, that's a reality. It happens. We don't want to ask those questions. Now, what if we make it a little bit more personal? In our most personal relationships, oftentimes in our dating and marriage relationships, there are questions that we don't want to ask. And oftentimes we don't want to ask them because we fear that we'll diminish the meaning of it. That if you have to ask your spouse to do something special for you, you're afraid it won't feel as special. And you don't want to ask because you expect them, hey, you should know that. You should know that this is something that I want. If you want, you know, a hug when you get home from work, and you don't want to ask that because you feel your spouse should know that that's something you want. So there are some deep, kind of deeper questions that we want to be asking and we are longing for, but we feel that maybe it's not appropriate to ask, or if we ask, it will lose its meaning. Now, I think in all these different things, from adolescence on up through manhood and not wanting to ask as a man, or within your relationships, things you don't want to ask for, all across the line, I think the fundamental issue here is pride. There's pride that we don't want to ask for things. Pride in that we don't want to be viewed as weak. We don't want to be viewed as people that are unknowledgeable. We don't want to be viewed as someone that is ignorant. We don't want to be viewed as someone who is in need and has to have someone else help them. We all have pride. And that's one of the things that maybe will come out next week when the youth are sharing. That's one of the lessons that they were taught in the first couple of weeks is the pervasiveness of pride in our spirits and how deep of a sin that is. But we all have that. And the Bible is this lace. There's so many different scripture references to pride. A lot of times when we think of sin in our lives, there's these kind of grotesque sins that kind of pop to mind and all these other things. Very often, pride doesn't top that list. But throughout scriptures, pride is at the very top of that list. If you think of the seven deadly sins, pride is number one on that list. I'll just throw a couple different verses out there that all kind of say this very same thing, that reiterate this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, this is what it says. He, this is God has no use for conceited people, but shows favor to those who are humble. In James chapter 4, verse 6, but the grace of God gives is even stronger. As Scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "In the same way, you younger people must submit yourselves to your elders. And all of you must put on the apron of humility to serve one another. For Scripture says, 'God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble.'" That's just three verses, and there are many, many throughout. The danger of pride. Pride is a deadly sin. Sin is a sin, and the reason that it tops this list that's talked about over and over and over again is because a proud person, first off, doesn't think they need help. A proud person does not think that they need a Savior. They think they can save themselves. And the message of the gospel is that Jesus came to earth to show us His love, to sacrifice for us, to give us good news, and that good news is what He did for us. But a proud person says, "I don't need good news. I don't need a Savior. I don't need someone to forgive me my sins. I don't need all those things. I'm doing fine." Those are the words of pride speaking. A proud person does not want to and doesn't feel they need to ask for forgiveness. See, to ask for forgiveness means that you must first acknowledge that you did something wrong. It must mean that you first acknowledge that you are in the wrong. And it means that you have to acknowledge that you can't fix the problem. A proud person will want to try to fix the problem, want to try to make things better, want to try to take care of the situation, where the reality is there comes a time when you just need to ask for forgiveness. First and foremost, that needs to be before God. You need to ask God for forgiveness. Also, that needs to happen amongst each other. You need to ask for forgiveness. But that is one of the most difficult things for a proud person to do. And for actually a person who is very proud, it's impossible. And so that's why God says over and over again in Scripture, you must be humble. You can't be proud and rely on someone else as your Savior at the same time. Those two things cannot coexist in your life. And so that's what Jesus is saying when He talks about this asking, seeking, and knock. Ask and it will be given to you, but you just have to ask. It sounds so easy, but yet it's so difficult. You must ask of God and it will be given to you. And that's why it says in the Scripture, God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Because the humble person asks and God gives. And that can be whatever it is. I mean, this can be talking about a number of different things. This could be talking about initial salvation for that first time when you ask for God's love and anointing and forgiveness in your life, and that first initial experience of salvation when you become a disciple of Christ. Or this could be referencing ongoing discipleship when you ask for mercy, when you ask for grace, when you ask for provision, when you ask for God's leading. This can be talking about the whole gamut. There's not one specific thing. But what Jesus is saying is, to be a follower of Me, you must ask. You must humble yourselves and realize that you need Me. You must humble yourselves and realize that you need a Savior. And ask Me, and I will give it to you. A proud person won't do that. A humble person won't. Secondly, He says, seek, and you will find. So here's a video I wanted to show you guys about seeking. So this is a video that, it's cool thing about the internet, there's all these little tests online. So this is a video that's designed to test your ability to concentrate and your ability to concentrate. So in this video, your task is to concentrate and to be able to count how many passes the white team makes. So hopefully the resolution is good enough on the screen, but there's a white team and there's a black team, and your job is to count the amount of, I'm not sure if it's basketballs or, there's balls that they're using. Count the amount of passes that the white team is making. If you can track all the counts, I don't know, the internet says like you're so smart or whatever. So you want to count the passes of the white team. So Tim, if you have that queued up. All right, Tim, you want to pause it there? So everyone able to track all that? Let's anyone get the number? Myrna, no number? You lost? Anyone get it? Huh? 16? 14? 15? Yeah, we're all close. What's that? What's that? Our mean is close? I don't know. variance. Our variance is good. So what's the answer? Tim, you can play. I think it gives the answer next. I think it's 15. Yeah, so if you got 15, whoever said 15 back there, good job. Now, did anyone notice anything? Maybe you've seen this video before. So play. So who noticed the gorilla coming through the middle of the screen? Some of you. Now, the first time that someone did this to me, I was completely oblivious. I was concentrated on those people wearing a white shirt, and I was trying to count. I can't remember if I got the right number, but I saw no gorilla whatsoever. And then when you play back the video, you're like, what? A gorilla, a person in a gorilla suit walked through the middle? Like, where'd that come from? Did anyone completely miss the gorilla? It's all right. Yeah, good. I was in the same boat. So the whole idea here is, while we seek for something, we're really, really concentrated on something. A lot of times we're oblivious to anything else. Jesus says, seek and you will find. And I think this principle applies across the board. I mean, we know in Jesus here, he's referencing himself. He's saying, if you seek me out, if you seek God out, you will find God. But this principle is true in many other aspects, is that for humanity, for us as human beings, whatever we're seeking for is usually what we find. Whatever it is that we're giving our lives to, whatever it is that we've set up as goals in our lives, whatever we're going for is what we find. Now, there are exceptions to every rule, so there are exceptions to it. But what it is that you're seeking is generally what it is that you find. So you guys were seeking to count those white people in white t-shirts passing the ball. You missed something pretty obvious going through because you were so focused. And we can get in the same mindset in our lives, that we have this hyper-focus that we're trying to seek something out in our lives, and we miss some other things that are pretty important. And I think we can all get sucked into this, that whatever it is that we're seeking after, that's what we're concentrating on, and that's what we're going for, and we have tunnel vision on that thing. And that could be a variety of different things. It could be seeking after the American dream, and whatever that means to you in particular, of having, you know, X, Y, and Z in your life, and you seek for that. And the reality is, if that's what you're seeking after, most of the time, in our particular environment and culture, you have the ability to find that. And there's a lot of different cultures that if you're seeking for a good paying job and a nice house and those type of things, it's actually hard and impossible to get that. But in our North American context, if that's what you're seeking for, if that's what you've made most important in your life, generally you have the ability to do that. Or maybe what you want is a spouse or a family. And again, it doesn't happen all the time, but if that's what you're seeking for, if that's your goal, if that's what you're striving after, usually people can find it. They can find a spouse and they can have kids. Now, again, that's not true across the board, but if that's your number one goal, most people find a way to get to that. Now, those are generally good things. There's also things that are more negative, that if you're seeking acceptance, maybe you're seeking to be a part of a crowd or seeking to be part of a group of people, you can generally do it. A lot of times, especially in high school and middle school, you'll find that, adolescents will do anything to be accepted if that's what they're seeking after, if that's what they've made most important. And a lot of times they'll compromise a lot of different things, but they'll finally do something and all of a sudden that they're accepted by a crowd. Or, you can see this a lot in conspiracy theorists. You know, they're always looking for something weird. And if that's what they're looking for, they'll find it. They'll find something that they can make their theories based off of, because that's what they're looking for. Or again, you see this a lot with people that get into things like with either apologetics or atheism, people trying to prove that there is a God or people trying to prove that there isn't a God, they're looking for certain things. So atheists are looking for things that they can build a theory of the non-existence of God on. And they find these things. They find different things that they build these theories on. And people that are looking to prove God, they look and they find things that they can build a theory of the existence of God on. So you can see this principle applies across the board, that whatever it is that you're looking for, whatever it is that you're seeking out in your life, generally, that's what you're going to find. You're going to find what you're looking for. just like in that video, when you're concentrating on the people in the white shirts bouncing the ball around, that's what you're going to see, and you're going to find something. You're going to find something. And what Jesus is saying is that He wants us to be seeking after Him. And He promises us that when we seek after Him, we will find Him. That's a great promise. In James chapter 4, verse 8, says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." There's that promise that as we seek after God and we take steps towards Him, He will come near to us. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 7. And the whole book, the whole chapter of Isaiah 55 is just a great chapter. But this is what verses 6 and 7 say. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways. Let the unrighteous forsake their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on them, and to our God, and He will freely pardon." Seek the God while He's near, and He says He will have mercy on us. He will freely pardon. As we draw near to God, if we seek God out, if God is the one we're concentrating on, if He is our goal, if that's our focus, He gives us that promise that He will be found. And that's one of the things that you can look forward to in hearing next week, is that there are some pretty cool stories of our youth. There are a lot of our youth that went down last 2 weeks ago seeking God. They went on this trip not just as a vacation, not just as an excuse to get out of the country. There are a lot that went down with the desire to see God. And it's awesome to hear some of the stories about how they felt God meet them there, about how they saw God at work in their own lives, and how we saw God at work in our group. There's some great stories there because they were seeking after God. How many of us still seek like that? How many of us are still in that kind of that same point of life, you know, where you're really seeking after God? It seems like once you get more established, once you've got your college degree, once you've got your career, once your path is kind of set on a trajectory, we kind of lose that passion of seeking after God because we've already arrived. We've already done X, Y, and Z. Whereas for high schoolers, their future is so nebulous, and you know, there's so many different things happening in their life that there's oftentimes a little bit more passion to seek after God. But do we have that? Do we as adults have that passion? That's something I was convicted of as I sat and heard some of the stories of the youth and thinking, man, do I still have that same desire that these young people have? Am I seeking after something else? Have I been caught in a trap of comfort and despondency? We must be seeking. It's an active thing. So whatever that thing is that we're focused on, Jesus is saying, I want to be at the center of that. And last, Jesus says, knock and the door will be opened to you. Knock and the door will be opened to you. As we just looked at, generally whatever it is that we're looking for, that's what we will find. But the truth is, we often realize that once we've found something, once we've sought something out and we found it, we're let down. It's not what we thought. Whatever it is that we had that hyper-focus on, whatever it is that we were seeking out with our lives, whatever it is that we were focused on, if we arrive at that day where we found it, if we arrive at that position where we got what we were looking for, and we expected this to kind of be the high water mark of our lives, we expected ourselves to have the sense of fulfillment and contentedness, we expected to like, I finally got there. And the reality is, when we finally get there, you oftentimes feel the same way you did as when you were looking for it. You oftentimes feel let down. You think, what is this? And we realize that what we've been seeking after, what it is that we've been looking for, led to a door that couldn't be opened. It led to a dead end. It led to nowhere. It's just something else. And then you need to refocus and go towards something else. And you go towards something else. And you can live your life seeking things, seeking, and you always find something, and you get to that something, and you realize, oh, this isn't what I was looking for. And what Jesus says is, seek after me. Knock on this door, and I will open it for you. Everything else is a dead end, but there is one door that will be opened, and that is a door that has the living God behind it. The door that has the creator of the universe behind it. Every other door, there's nothing behind it. We're seeking after something that can't bring us what we're looking for. We're seeking after something that won't bring us the fulfillment. Yeah, there might be some good times there might be some happiness, but ultimately, it's not going to be what we're looking for. And Jesus says, what you're looking for is your Creator. What you're looking for is the one who made you. What you're looking for is the one that can love you perfectly. And I am behind that door, and when you knock, I will open it for you. But when any other door you knock on, there's nothing there. There's no other person. You're seeking after something that wasn't there. And Jesus is saying, knock on my door, and I will open it for you. Ask of me, and I will give it to you. Seek me out, and you will find me. Knock on my door, and I will open it for you. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray for everyone in this room and all the people we know. Lord, we all fall into the trap of being afraid to ask, of being proud. Lord, we've all sought after things that aren't you. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if we make that our primary focus in life, Lord, it's a very dangerous idol that we can seek after. And Lord, we've all knocked on doors that we know will never open. We've knocked on doors where we know there's nothing behind it, and we know there's no one that can open it. And Lord, I pray that we can all ask from you, seek after you, and knock on your door, that we can open it to life, and a life spent in something with you, that only you that can fulfill. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.